This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Love Your Body, Love Your Life. And joining me from California is certified natural health practitioner and founder of Beauty Mark Organics, author Jenna Lisa Lobos. Welcome to the program, Jenna.
Thank you for having me on, Jay.
Well, this is a cheerful book, I will say, because it deals with a subject that 99.9% of the populace is interested in, even if they're in bad shape physically. Your book talks about love your body, love your life. Is this directed primarily towards ladies, or is this something that I could read and benefit from as well? So I'm a guy.
You are a guy. I think anybody could benefit from the tips. There's all kinds of tips ranging from food and skincare tips to spirituality tips. So it was written primarily with a woman in mind because I am a woman.
Yes.
So I wrote it from that perspective. But at the end of the day, Jay, anybody could benefit from the tips and my personal story, if you are at all interested in that.
Absolutely. I understand you reference your inner child quite often in your manuscript, in your book. What is the significance of that, and how do you direct that towards the reader?
I do. The significance of that is... So a little backstory, I've been on a spiritual path for over 20 years. And when I hit the platform of going deeper with my spiritual work, it was when I started to heal my inner child. And so that's why I didn't really go too deep into it in the book, but there is a story around it and then a tip around it. And when I met her and I allowed her to feel the feelings that had been suppressed for years, magical things started to happen, Jay. For example, once I healed her emotional body, I would wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would just start writing poetry. And poetry would just like be pouring out of me out of nowhere. Like I didn't even know I had the gift of writing poetry.
Phenomenal.
So it was a very significant time in my life. And I believe that it was the gateway to the next level of my healing. And it also, I found my voice through healing my inner child.
That's a great story just in itself. Now, the book itself is an offshoot of a blog that you had launched. Is that also correct?
Yeah. So I was growing my organic skincare line, Beauty Mark Organics, and I had an assistant helping me, and I was writing a blog and I was sending it out to customers on a weekly to a monthly basis. And I was giving out skincare tips, and I was also sharing parts of my journey. I was getting to be more comfortable with sharing my personal story. So I would share in a blog, and my assistant at the time said, "You know, Jenna, I feel like you need to stop giving this information out for free. And why don't you bundle it up?" And she's highly creative. She's a designer. She's the one that designed the book. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she says, "Well, let me think about it. Let me just go back and see what I can come up with." So I didn't see her for like 2 to 3 weeks. And when she came back to help me, she had created the first book, which was just a purely tip book. A 31 tip book. So it was like blog, and then it went to a 31 tip book. Then I got an interview on a women's radio channel based out of Vegas, and the interviewer wanted to know more about my personal story and how I went from mortgage real estate girl to author and organic skincare line person. And so I shared that story on an interview. And then after we spoke, she was encouraging me. She said, you know what? I think you really need to revise the 31 tip book and add your personal story. So that is what you have in your hands now, Jay, is the 52 tip book, which includes all the skincare tips and spirituality tips plus my personal story. So it started out as a blog.
I noticed that you had 52 tips specifically. Was that on purpose to match one per week, or is it just coincidental?
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, people are really busy. You know, social media has us going 10 million miles per hour. So I think that one tip per week, if anybody wants to implement it that way, is easy. Or, you know, they can just scroll through the book and see what resonates with them, what tip resonates with them, and then they can take it from there. But one tip per week for one whole year, and it should transform anybody that takes the advice.
And Jenna, how long did it take to finish this into a written manuscript that could be put in book form? You have 126 pages. That's pretty daunting, mm-hmm. just on its own. A very contemporary look, too. I like the look of the book. But that question, again, how long did it take?
Longer than expected. To be honest, it's 2019 now, and this book should have been out around 2015. Life challenges, unexpected things, Jay, just kind of pushed it back. But I feel like timing is always perfect.
It is a good-looking book. Just if it were sitting on the shelf, it would grab your attention. The cover itself is striking enough. It looks like a how-to book in some regard, but it's not clinical in the way you've described it. It's more personable and conversational. Would that be a way to describe the content?
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely invite people into my world in the book. Yeah, like I said, it should have been out in 2015, but it's fresh content to fresh eyes, and people will definitely get to know me better through the book and also have some really great tips as well.
Some of the tips are pretty straightforward. My spouse is, I won't say a fan of health, but we're in a regimen at the current moment that I'm visiting with you, where we're trying to clean up our eating styles and some of the food intake. And she's, in fact, spent several hours this afternoon finding a doctor that really impressed her, that hit all the hot buttons that she personally observes and believes in. You have some basic stuff, like basic advice, such as start your day with a glass of warm water and some lemon. That's mm-hmm. pretty straightforward. Keep your digestion strong. Is there anything in here that you didn't know when you began this journey that you think will be radical if someone were to see it?
Is there anything in here that I think that would be radical?
Well, when I say radical advice, you get plenty of protein. Individuals are more inclined towards a vegetarian diet, and it's more difficult to get protein. Do you have any suggestions or direction in that area?
I will say to that, it's all about tuning in, Jay. It's all about listening to your body. I talk a lot about getting silent and tuning in, and the way I do that is through meditation for at least 10 minutes as soon as I wake up. I journal at least 3 pages. I call it morning pages, of just pure, like just anything I can think of, just not even thinking about making sense of what I want to write down in my journal. So it's 3 pages. So it's just like free writing. And I feel like when the brain gets the pen and it gets into like writing on paper, it's amazing what can come out. And it also frees the mind of any kind of thoughts that shouldn't be there. So it gives you clarity, gives one clarity. I say to do that with eating as well. I talk in the book a lot about raw food. I went on a raw food journey for a whole summer, and at the time, that was what my body needed. I tend to just listen to what my body. I just did that again for 30 days this past month. I went on a raw food diet, which means I didn't have anything cooked. That's just what I heard to do. Now I'm back to eating some cooked foods. So I really tune into what my body needs, and I feel like everybody is different. Everybody's hormone system is different. Everybody's emotional body is different, depending on what you're going through, depending on how your sleep is, depending on the stress level. So it's really difficult to give somebody a true diet, quote unquote.
Right.
So I think that we all do definitely have the answers inside of us. Of course, it's helpful to find somebody that you can talk it out with, and it's also beneficial for somebody to kind of point you in the right direction. But at the end of the day, I feel like we all have the answers for us inside. I love to ask advice too, Jay. Because it's easier for the mind to say, oh, well, that person told me to do this, so it sounded good, so I'm just going to go and do that. But it may not work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's always good to get a doctor's perspective or a life coach perspective or a mentor perspective. And I definitely love all of that. But at the end of the day, it's about listening to you and tuning into the body. And the only way to do that is by silencing the mind. And the only way to do that is through meditation, through journaling, through breathing, and listening to the small signals that the body will tell you on a daily basis. Most of us, like I said, are running around super crazy these days, so we are not in touch with the intelligence of the body. I know this probably is not on the subject of food, but it does relate to that at the end of the day.
Well, it's beautifully put. I understand what you're saying. It's difficult for most of us in this century to release ourselves and allow ourselves to just not be stressed. And what you've described certainly makes a lot of sense from a logical standpoint. And you've given some great tips on how to achieve that, where you can just let your mind go and release the creativity that's pent up in most of us right now. So this is beautifully put. You have also stated in your book, or one of the phrases that you like to use, is a shift in perception is sometimes the easiest thing to know we want, but the hardest thing is to put it into practice. And I can say that's absolutely factually correct. I appreciate that stance that you've taken. Your book, again, although it appears to be written for ladies, is certainly filled with wonderful suggestions for anybody that wants to improve their lifestyle and improve their emotional and physical health. The title of which, again, is Love Your Body, Love Your Life. My guest author, Jenna Lisa Lobos. Jenna, where can I get a copy of this?
Oh my gosh, it's everywhere right now. It's on Amazon, it's on barnesandnoble.com, it's on Target's website, on BalboaPress.com, which is my publisher. You really, honestly, all you have to do is Google Jenna Lisa Lobos, Love Your Body, Love Your Life, which is the title of the book, and it'll pop up everywhere.
Excellent. And you have mentioned you are a writing person. In other words, you journal. Is there a follow-up to this book in the works at the moment?
I think so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. It probably won't be the same genre, but yeah, I writing is definitely one of my passions. So I already have a second book. I know I have at least two more books in me. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah.
I admire anybody that can follow through on a creative idea. This is beautifully done. Again, the title, Love Your Body, Love Your Life, author Jenna Lisa Lobos. Thank you for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jay.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Congratulations on getting your book published. The effort you put into your work is truly commendable. But what's next? What will happen to all the knowledge you have worked so hard to acquire to produce your book? Here at TogiNet Radio, we can provide you a platform to keep your knowledge working for you through the power of podcast. The subjects our podcasts cover are as varied as the grains of sand on a beach. From life coaching, to military resources, to business success, even to the paranormal. We have a place for everyone. To get started on your next step, call Scott at 903-787-5880 or email him at scott@toginetradio.com. That's S-C-O-T-T at T-O-G-I-N-E-T-R-A-D-I-O.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is In the Silver Maple Tree, The Adventure of an Impetuous Young Girl Captivated by God. And joining me from California is that impetuous young girl, Ginger Lawrence. Welcome to the program.
Okay, I'm in Oregon, however.
Oh, you're in Oregon. Well, you moved. No, yes. No, you weren't in California. That's my mistake.
Yes.
Oregon's not
Jacksonville,
bad.
Jacksonville, Oregon.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Well, nice to make your acquaintance. I notice on the back of your book you have a photo of a ranch situation or a youth ranch situation called Young Life's Silver Cliff Ranch. Is that related or have a special significance to you, or will this to the reader?
Oh, it will. It is a very big significance to me. I spent 5 summers there when I was in high school and worked there. And the book, I included in the book stories about it. So,
and that was just a handful of years ago, I'm assuming. You have talked about it being a young girl in a silver maple tree. What does the silver maple tree have to do with your story? This listeners, is autobiographical in texture and in style. Is that the right way to describe this?
Right. The silver maple tree was out at the end of our property. And I was adopted, and I was a kid that loved adventure. And sometimes my adventure took me too far and not thoroughly honest. But by the time I was 9, I had been convicted totally that I needed a savior. And the silver maple tree was where I climbed up in the silver maple tree. And I sang my way into the kingdom. I just knew that there was a God that loved me, and I never questioned it after that. I gave my heart to him.
Wow. And it stuck, apparently.
Oh, it stuck. Yes, it stuck.
You have said that the story takes place in, am I correct, that it took place in the 40s and 50s. Is that
right.
Accurate?
Yes.
Wow.
Right. Well, I was born in 33.
Well,
so I'm 85.
Wow. You definitely don't sound like it. And what's encouraging about your conversational style is that there is a lot of enthusiasm still there. And when you reflect back on that young girl of 8, 9, 10 years old, you still have a passion for your history and what happened back then.
Oh, I do. Yes, I had wonderful parents that adopted my sister and I together. And they were Christians, and fairly new Christians. I mean, they hadn't been raised, you know, as believers, but had come to know the Lord a little bit later and just before we were adopted. And they were enthusiastic. And my father wrote a poem that is in the Silver Maple Tree that if a person gets that book, they'll read it. wonderful poem.
Is it something that you remember by? Is it something that you have committed to memory, perhaps? Or do we need to find it and read it? Would that be something that would cheer up the audience?
I can read it to you. It's on my wall.
Oh, fabulous. Please do so.
I have it framed, and it was published in the Oregon Journal of Portland. So it's a great piece. It's called Which Will It Be? And I'm walking all over my house here. This is it. Which will it be? When you've gathered all the loose ends and mended broken strands, you are feeling proud and happy with the way your lifeline stands. You review the path you've traveled, and you feel inclined to cheer. Why not stop a bit and ponder? Just where do I go from here? Life is short and quite uncertain. Time has never ceased to roll. You are the master of your life, but who's the captain of your soul? When the thread of life is broken, you do not cease to be. Take a thought about hereafter. What about eternity? Existence does not stop with death. Time still does not cease to roll. Earth to earth and dust and ashes was not spoken of the soul. You've been busy thinking small thoughts. Did you ever think of God? In his image we are fashioned. On his footstep stool we have trod. Have you ever paid him homage? Have you ever paid him rent? Even so, he will forgive you if you your sins repent. Jesus hung amid derision, crucified for you and me. It depends on your decision where you'll spend eternity. God in mercy made provision to blot out your sins and mine. Remember them no more against us. Make our lives to be divine. It's a gift. We may accept it. Our choice, hope will depend. On our choice, hope will depend. For him belongs the kingdom, power, glory without end.
Whoa, beautifully done. Absolutely beautifully done. And as a church pew warmer myself, and sometimes I get kind of motivated, that beautifully tells the story of redemption and faith in a very succinct manner. I can understand why it would have been published or shared. In writing this book, when did the idea come to you? I need to share my story not only with my family, but perhaps the folks beyond. When did that come, and how long did it take to complete?
Well, I'll tell you when I wanted to really begin to share my story. Well, I sang a lot as a young person. I had lots of lessons, vocal lessons, and I sang all over the United States because we were always moving. And I loved doing that, but I didn't love just sharing. I thought I had to sing my testimony. But as I began to realize that I was a little bit of a Pharisee, and then God worked in my life, and that was as I was much older, and I had read a couple of books that were wonderful and gave me the idea that I really needed to share more about who he was. And I love it. I do it a lot now. In fact, I have a really fun time when I meet up with somebody that asks me for money. Like, do you have $3? Do you have $5? Yes. And I have it here, but I want to pray for you first. And so I pray for them. Oh, it is amazing, Jay. These people are standing there weeping or staring into space.
Wow.
And so it's one way I can give my testimony or tell them who Jesus is. The God of the universe loves them. And I always am adding that, of course, in my prayer for them. So it was probably about 12 years ago when I began to see that I needed for God to work some more in me. reading Brennan Manning's books was good also. Signature of Jesus and a few other ones, Abba's Child. Anyway, does that answer your question?
Oh, it certainly does. And a very inspiring story. You know, many of us who are many in society who are church members are very satisfied just to go to church, come home, and forget their faith until the next service time, which may be a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or maybe a Wednesday night if they're really fanatical. You have internalized and externalized your faith, which is certainly a major part of Christianity, those who are people of faith. Your book is written, would you say, in a conversational style? I mean, some biographical or autobiographical sketches and books are somewhat, you know, boring. They're just not much there. Yours is a storytelling style, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's a story. And young people, even my neighbor, I said, I heard that you did a book signing and you were gone for quite a while. I said, oh, well, I'm back now. And yes, it went well. And I remembered the book on my car seat. So I opened my car door and I handed it to her. And she said, really, you're giving this to me? I said, oh, yes, it's just a little thing. And she couldn't wait to start reading it. And she said, when I finish it, can we have tea? And I said, oh, yes, we can. And so we did just last week. And she, as it turns out, she was a believer already, but just loved my story. And so people of all ages seem to like it. One of the pastors at the church I go to, he said, I just read a little bit every day, Ginger, and it just blesses me.
Beautiful.
So anyway.
What do you want the reader to take away from your work? Was there an underlying message that you weren't even aware of as you were writing this that popped to the surface? Or did you complete everything that you wanted to say as far as telling the story and inspiring people?
Well, I hope that I inspired people. I completed a lot. You know, I think that I finished it, but as I worked, I prayed all the time that God would use it, that he would give me the exact words to say, and that it wouldn't be about me, that it would be about the God of the universe that loves us, that loved a little girl that was adopted at age 2. And was a little bit of an imp. I mean, she was, I was pretty energetic and I did a lot of stuff, but I've learned how to confess and how to get rid of little things that need to be taken care of because God does it.
Were you the 3-year-old hiding under the kitchen sink or was that someone else in your family?
I was.
It
yes.
was you.
Mm-hmm.
Did that cause any kind of
for
concern?
An hour.
An hour. My
Pardon?
Goodness. Did that cause any concern by your parents?
No, but I'll tell you, it really did concern me because I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, once you start that, you hate to say, I'm here, you know, because I knew I was wrong.
Wow.
I knew at that age that I was dead wrong and that I needed to be different. But by the time I heard the pastor come in the back door and my mother began to sob real down deep because she just knew she had lost me.
Wow.
Oh, you know, God brings all these things into our life to teach us. And that was a real teaching moment for me.
I notice also you've mentioned that at 8 years of age, what is the story about the deaf school? What did that have to do with your life?
Well, I had a mastoid operation when I was age 2. And that was when my parents, my birth father died. And so my mother gave 2 of us up to some relatives in Portland. And they turned out to be wonderful, like I said. And so they were always trying to take care of me because I had a mastoid operation. They really cared, you know, and would take me to the doctor. And and I had lots and lots of earaches. Mm. But as I went to school, we were always having tests. And I was just flat out dishonest. I was just having so much fun playing games on the doctor that was giving me these tests, or the person, he wasn't a doctor. But finally he said, you know, because I was clever enough to make it happen every time and make it worse every time. So he thought I was losing my hearing totally and suggested that I be sent to the deaf school in Portland. That's where I thought I was going. But somewhere it changed and I ended up at the one in Salem, which was, I was there then for 9 months without my parents.
Ooh.
And that's where I learned one of the biggest lessons of my life, because they could, the other kids that were there could not hear. I could.
Hmm.
And I would, and it was very hard, like going to a movie was very scary for me. And my parents didn't go to a lot of movies, but they had movies there, you know, that were supposed
right.
to be funny,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the haunted house. And then I laid all night long and then looked into the darkness, waiting for somebody to come and get me. But I, you know, that was the story on the deaf school. And my parents didn't send me back. I think they suspected that, because I rubbed poison oak over my entire body when I was home for Christmas, just trying to stay home.
Mm.
But I had to go back.
Wow.
I had to go back.
You were.
Something that God used.
You were an impetuous little girl, weren't you? Impetuous and,
yes.
and high energy. Wow. And in spite of all that, you not only survived but have thrived. Your book, where does it leave off? I mean, is it only your real young years, or does it follow your adventure through adulthood?
No, it leaves off at when I graduated from high school And I never went back to the ranches. But that's where it leaves off. And a lot of people have asked me if I would finish. I'm working on my daughter's story. She was adopted also.
Wow.
And it's a much more intense book than this. It's not so many fun and games, but God has done amazing things in her.
Wow.
So.
I'm
thrilled about that.
This is a great story, and just listening to your enthusiasm and excitement as you recount your life to date and of the spiritual journey you've been on, obviously you're someone that my listeners need to get acquainted with you, and if they live in the area, they should come by and listen to you speak, because I have a feeling you should be doing some public speaking as well. The title of this book, again, is In the Silver Maple Tree, The Adventures
right.
of an Impetuous Young Girl Captivated by God, and who has joined me from Oregon, Ginger Lawrence,
right.
the author. Ginger, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
Well, they can order it through Amazon. They can, and a lot of the Christian bookstores will be able to get it if they haven't already ordered it and have it in stock.
Beautiful.
In Portland, in this area, there's a bookstore by the name of Evangel, and it's in Grants Pass and also in Medford.
Beautiful.
And they have my book there.
And they can request it from their local bookseller by the name of the author, Ginger Lawrence, or by the name of the tree
right.
In the Silver Maple Tree. Thank you for sharing your story.
Right.
It's been inspiring to talk to you, and I am believing that this book will motivate many others who will read it and find it not only entertaining but also inspirational. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
Mm. Oh, you're welcome. More than welcome. Thank you for giving me the privilege to do it.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.